Hello, friends, and welcome to the Dream Wish Plan podcast. We recently got back from a family trip to Disney World. I always say, no matter how many times we visit, each trip is a little different. We do new things and we learn new lessons. So today I'm giving you my trip report and filling you in on what our expectations were versus the reality and what our lessons learned were. My husband was going to a conference that week, so we went down with him after the school spring break. So my kids were actually off for almost 2 whole weeks, but we were only in Florida for 5 days. Our first day was a Monday, and it was our travel day. We had a very early flight, and we arrived in Orlando around 9:30. We got our rental car and headed to our hotel, where we were able to check in early. We dropped our luggage off at our rooms and headed right over to the Magic Kingdom. We decided to stop at the Polynesian for a quick lunch at Captain Cook's Quick Service. We were all pretty hungry by then, and we arrived at Magic Kingdom around 12:30-ish. Originally, we didn't think my husband was going to be able to spend the whole time with us, and we thought we would head back to the hotel to relax after dinner. He did actually end up staying with us the whole time, and as I've mentioned before, he's much more of a go, go, go person in the parks, so we didn't end up leaving after dinner. The crowds were very reasonable, and we were able to do pretty much everything we wanted to do in the afternoon. I had purchased Genie Plus in the morning before our flight, and I was stacking up some lightning lanes for us to use. So even though we were at the parks longer than I anticipated, we didn't really feel like we were rushing around or waiting in a lot of lines. So that was really nice. We got a lot of rides in, and we were able to get the 130 virtual queue drop for Tron. We also had some snack goals at Magic Kingdom, including the Fanta Strawberry Dole Whip float and some cheeseburger spring rolls, and we did get both of those. We had dinner at Tony's Town Square restaurant, which is Italian and kind of has a Lady of the Tramp sort of theme to it. I wanted to give this a shot because this place gets a lot of hate as being like the worst restaurant you can choose, but I have heard that they've improved, so I wanted to see how it was. I have picky eaters, and I knew that everyone would enjoy Italian, and I thought it was a pretty safe choice. And overall, I will say it was okay. It was just fine. It was standard Italian, nothing special. The kids ate really well there, so that was a win in my book. The service was great, and it was a good experience. I just wouldn't necessarily go out of my way to eat there again. After dinner, we finished up a few more things and headed back to our hotel. We stayed at the Drury Plaza near Disney Springs. It was our first time staying at this hotel, and it was actually really nice. It was clean and comfortable. The staff was friendly and helpful. They had a nice breakfast buffet each day, which the kids really liked making Mickey waffles. Normally, we don't really sit down for a big breakfast on our way to the parks, but we were making a real effort not to rush in the mornings, so we did have breakfast at the hotel each morning. They also had a time at night where they had basically dinner, and they gave you drink coupons as well for alcoholic drinks for adults. Sadly, we were not there during the nighttime offerings, so I can't really comment on the quality there, but from the menu, it looked pretty nice. So that's a nice money-saving option too if you're staying off-site. You can have some of your meals at the hotel. They did have a regular restaurant at the hotel as well if you would prefer that. They also had a nice pool, a hot tub, and a splash pad area for the kids, and my kids did enjoy those. The hotel had transportation to the parks, and I'm always a little cautious because I'm not sure how often they'll be running or how reliable they are for the non-Disney resorts. I will say these buses were very nice. They were on time, they weren't too crowded, and they did run pretty regularly. We didn't have any issues using them at all, and we did have a schedule, so we just planned ahead. We did also have a rental car for my husband to get to his conference, and there were a couple of nights that we did end up riding home with him rather than taking the hotel transportation. But overall, I was pleasantly surprised. Another nice thing was that we were in walking distance to Disney Springs. So we did walk over there one morning and did some shopping. We got cookies from Gideon's, and we had lunch at Raglan Road. I stuck the cookies from Gideon's in the hotel fridge, and we had a little late night dessert when we got back from the parks a couple of nights. Our second day at the parks was our Epcot day, and I was really excited for that because I wanted to see all the flower and garden stuff. We arrived at the park right at opening, and since we were arriving at the main entrance, we did Test Track first, and then did some of the other stuff in the front of the park. We used Genie Plus mostly for Remy and Frozen, but we did also use it for Soarin' and some other things later in the day. I ended up purchasing an individual Lightning Lane for Guardians of the Galaxy because it was just my son and me riding. I'm glad I did because it was actually down for a good part of the day, but we were still able to ride later in the day. That was one of my son's must-do activities, so I really wanted to make sure that that was handled. We had a lot of fun at Epcot, and we had some food and some drinks from the festival. I also got my brioche ice cream treat from France, which I highly recommend. My sister-in-law was with us, and she wanted to do dinner at Nine Dragons, so we did that, and everyone enjoyed it. That's not a place I would typically choose, but it was good and just not, again, something I would go out of my way to visit necessarily. One thing we really did well this time that we don't always do is not backtracking all over the park. I was really strategic in our lightning lanes and our timing of things. Epcot is so much walking, and especially when you're in the World Showcase, it's important to take breaks from the heat. Visit the shops, do some of the inside activities like the films and things like that. If you don't, then it feels a lot hotter and it's harder to manage. While we were there, we had a drink at the Rose and Crown, and the kids did a bit of the DuckTales scavenger hunt, which were both things on our must-do list as well. One other thing we did this time was my kids got into pin trading. I never really got into that before, and that wasn't necessarily something I was encouraging, but they had an absolute blast. Basically, you get a lanyard and some Disney pins, and you can trade pins with other guests and with cast members. The cast member pin trading just actually came back a few weeks before our trip, and all the cast members basically participate, so it's really fun. And I will say, it's not only a souvenir, but it's also an activity, so that's nice as well. Can you end up spending a fortune if you're not careful? Absolutely. And I was kind of kicking myself for not being better prepared because I would have bought stuff ahead of time and probably saved a lot of money, but it worked out well anyway. And now they have their lanyards and pins, and they'll be able to do that each time we visit. Oh, and my daughter finally got a Disney balloon. I am the mean mom who never lets her get one. I'm just not a balloon person. I don't want to carry it all around. I don't want to deal with it. But my sister-in-law bought it for her because that's basically her thing, is to buy them things that I won't. And she was happy as a clam for a day until she popped it, but now she can cross that off her bucket list, I guess. Our third day was another Magic Kingdom day. I planned it that way because, again, I didn't anticipate spending as much time there on our first day, and I just didn't think we would have been able to do as much as we did that day. So in hindsight, we probably didn't really need two full Magic Kingdom days. This is probably the only time that we've not done park hopper tickets, and I kind of wish that we had them so that we could have done a partial day at Magic Kingdom and a partial day at Hollywood Studios. But we decided to have a slower start that morning. The kids did a little morning swim, we had breakfast, and walked over to Disney Springs, which I already mentioned, and I was stacking up some lightning lanes for Magic Kingdom for later in the day. We pretty much did anything we didn't get to on our first day. We spent some time shopping, and we hit our favorites for a second time. We had dinner in the park, and then we headed over to the Polynesian to watch the fireworks from the beach. I wasn't going to do that this time because we do that a lot, and I was trying to do something different, but my daughter put that on her must-do list, which I was perfectly happy with. If you haven't heard me mention it before, it's one of our favorite ways to watch Happily Ever After fireworks, away from the chaos of Main Street. It's super chill, you can grab an Adirondack chair on the beach, and they play the soundtrack. The only thing is that you can't see the projections on the castle. From there, we went over to Coronado Springs Resort because that's where my husband's car was from the conference, and we had some late night dessert there and headed back to our hotel. Thursday was our Animal Kingdom day. We didn't rope drop because we needed to sleep in a bit, so we headed over around 9:30 or 10. We really lucked out the week that we were there because crowds were very light, and it just makes everything easier. We did get Genie Plus, and I booked a Navi River journey for the afternoon. When we got to the park, we did the safari, and we headed back to do the animation experience at Rafiki's Planet Watch. This was so much fun, and everyone in our group loved it. We got to draw Tigger, who's one of my very favorite characters, so that was very cool. And my husband was able to join us around lunchtime, so we had some lunch at Flame Tree Barbecue. I had the mac and cheese with pulled pork, which is one of my favorite things at Animal Kingdom. This was the only day that we got rain, and after lunch, it was an absolute downpour. I was prepared with our ponchos, but I did fail to put our sandals in the park bag, and that was a big fail and a rookie mistake. I always recommend either wearing sandals that won't get soggy or packing some to put in case your feet get wet. But we made our way to Pandora and did Navi River Journey, and we waited in line for Flight of Passage because it was showing as a 45-minute wait, which is incredible. But the rain was just pooling so much on the ground that our feet were absolutely soaked. I think we ended up waiting a little longer than 45 minutes, but that was fine because we were in the queue inside away from the rain, so it worked out really well. By the time we were off the ride, it had stopped raining and the sun was out. We spent a few more hours at Animal Kingdom just enjoying. My kids wanted to ride Dinosaur 3 times, and we did do that. There was no line, and I didn't want to say no because at some point that ride is likely going to be gone when they retheme that area, so I figured why not. We also made sure to hit It's Tough to Be a Bug since that will also be getting an update. When we were done for the day, we went over to Coronado Springs and had dinner at Maya Grill. This was probably my favorite meal we had on our trip. It was really great. If you haven't been there, it's an absolutely beautiful resort, and they have several restaurants that have great food. My husband and I love Mexican food, and our meals were really good and rivaled food that we have eaten in Mexico. We headed back to the hotel relatively early because we were flying out the next day, and we wanted to be all packed and ready because we planned to be at Hollywood Studios for early entry to get the most out of our time there before our flight. So on our checkout day, I purchased Genie Plus and booked Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. I did that because we planned to do Slinky Dog Dash during early entry, and I planned to purchase a Lightning Lane for Rise of Resistance. Now, because we stayed at a non-Disney resort, we did actually get early entry by staying at the Drury, but we were not able to purchase individual Lightning Lanes at 7 a.m. I didn't really think this would be an issue since the crowds were not as bad, but as it turns out, the individual Lightning Lanes for Rise sold out before park opening, so we weren't able to do that. Add to that the fact that Rise was down for a good portion of the day, and that did complicate matters for our Hollywood Studios time. So Rise was on our must-do list, and we did not get to do it. My son was not too happy about that. Now, granted, he's been on it many times, so I wasn't too worried about it. But again, this trip was just a little bit different for us. We normally wouldn't have our only day at a park be on the day that we fly out. I would normally not recommend that, and it just so happened that my husband's schedule for the conference that we planned it that way. And again, if we did get park hopper tickets, we would have probably done 2 partial days at Hollywood Studios to allow for unexpected circumstances like that. But being that we go quite often, I wasn't too concerned about missing anything in particular. If this was our first visit, or if we were a group that doesn't go often, I would have put some safeguards in place to avoid that happening. But ultimately, you need to be flexible, you need to go with the flow, and you need to be okay with the fact that the unexpected is going to happen sometimes. On the bright side, we were able to do Slinky Dog Dash at early entry with about a 30-minute wait, and we got to ride everything else we wanted at Hollywood Studios. We were able to do some shopping and some people watching. One thing I did not do is spend some time at Baseline Tap House. This is usually my go-to spot for when my family does Star Tours because my motion sickness just does not tolerate that ride. But honestly, I couldn't eat or drink one more thing by that point, so it just didn't happen. But overall, it was a good day at Hollywood Studios. We left around 3 o'clock to head to the airport, and we were mostly ready to leave by then. I did ask everyone after our trip what their favorite parts were and what they wished that we did that we didn't get to. The main theme was that they wanted more time at Hollywood Studios. They wanted to ride Rise of the Resistance, and they wanted some more time to just hang out in Galaxy's Edge. We did spend some time in Galaxy's Edge, and we went to Oga's Cantina, which is always a good time, but my kids really like to play the Bounty Hunter interactive game that you can play in Galaxy's Edge, and there wasn't a lot of time left over to do that. So I've made a note for next time to be sure to plan some extra time at Hollywood Studios. And also that we would like to spend some time in Galaxy's Edge at night. The lights and sounds are really fun at night. And if you want to do Oga's Cantina, a really cool thing is to get the latest reservation that you can, and you'll be one of the only people in Galaxy's Edge afterward. So some top takeaways from our trip. We loved the animation experience, and we'll definitely be doing that again as a family. We loved the Maya Grill at Coronado Springs, and I would highly recommend that. Another thing is that if you find something you love, like watching the fireworks at the Polynesian, it's okay to do it every time. You don't need to feel like you need to do something different every single time you visit. On this trip, we did try some new things, but we kept some of our family favorites as well. Our overall experience at the Drury was great. If you're looking for a reasonable off-site resort that still has some perks, it's a great choice. I will say that I did miss being at a Disney resort with a theming, and especially since we like to stay at resorts that are near the Skyliner. I really did miss the Skyliner. I'm just not a fan of the bus in general, and I feel like the Skyliner is just an experience in itself. As a side note, you can still ride the Skyliner even if you're not staying at a Disney resort or a resort that's on the Skyliner. It's just that we didn't get to it on this trip. And for my random tips, number one, if you're wanting to watch Festival of Fantasy Parade and you don't feel like lining up way in advance on Main Street, you can get a good spot in Frontierland where the parade begins without waiting too much in advance. We were basically able to walk up as the parade was starting and get a spot where we could see pretty well. Again, this is not during peak crowd levels. You'd want to allow some extra time if you're there during a high crowd time. And random tip number two is to pack those sandals or extra shoes and socks in case your feet get wet. It's not enough just to bring them from home. You should actually have them with you at the parks, unless you're close enough to head back to the resort to change. So hopefully you found this episode helpful and you learned something new or picked something up that you'd like to try on your next visit. And if you want help planning from someone who knows the ins and outs of Disney and can help you plan an itinerary that works for your family's needs, you can work with me and I'll handle all the details, from choosing your travel dates and resort to planning your park days and navigating Genie Plus. I can help guide you through the whole process. Just click the link in the show notes for a personalized quote. Thanks so much for listening, and until next time, happy planning.